And we are back live with you. That was Al Aronowitz recorded, I have the date on that, but it was a good 10 years ago here on Dave's Gone By, the late Al Aronowitz, the journalist, discussing his life and the people that he knew, including the Beatles and Dylan and such. And, you know, the Beatles were my heroes when I was a young person, as so many of my generation and age were. And then I collected a bunch of other heroes along the way. People like, Oscar the Grouch was a big icon for me, and the folks of Monty Python's Flying Circus, and the man who is on the telephone with us right now. I didn't know that he was calling in. I emailed him. I hadn't heard back. And then suddenly he checked his email this morning, and amazingly enough and thrillingly enough, one of my all-time ultimate radio heroes is with us to get demented on the radio. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Demento. How are you, Doctor?
Oh, great. Woo, woo, woo. Wind up your radio. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dr. D. Oh, just to hear that voice and just to hear. Are you still able, after 46 years, to muster that energy every time you do a show?
Oh, sure. We got a new one on the internet just this morning, drdemento.com. It has a tribute to Leonard Nimoy, of course. Also a demented dance party with the funky gibbon and the punk polka, all that good stuff.
Are you ever at a loss for themes, or is it always just no problem? You have no difficulty putting together a two-hour show?
Oh, it sometimes takes me a little while to think of a good theme. I think of them several weeks ahead of time so that I can get prepared. But I have to come up each week with a theme that hasn't been done recently and that I know there's a lot of good stuff about, except, of course, the last weekend of every month when we do the top 10, and that becomes our theme.
Oh, right, of course. But do you have a shorter lead time now that you can do things right from the computer? You get the show done and you get it ready, whereas back in the day, I guess you had to have a 3-week stretch between having your show and then getting it on disc to terrestrial radio.
Yeah. Oh, yes, we used to have a 3-week lead time, sometimes even 4 weeks, and that's just the way it was, and it's a relief not to have to do that. I do still get the show ready ahead of time, a few days ahead of time, but I could theoretically make last-minute changes up until the day before the show goes online.
Which is what,
goes online in the middle of the night, and I suppose I could theoretically make a change at about 11:30 or so, but it takes a little while to have it actually, to go through the electronic mechanism to have it go online at midnight Pacific time on every Saturday.
Yeah. No, I mean, we get so spoiled now in this digital age. I know that I try and listen to this radio host out of, it's New York. It's Vin Scalzo, who was one of the classic rock DJs, and he's on WFUV out in New York, and he used to do the show live, but he's an older man now. He's not always in the best of health, so he does his little show out in New Jersey from his house, and he generally does it like on a Tuesday, Wednesday night, and it's usually fine, but if somebody major dies on a Thursday, it's kind of weird not to hear that referenced in his show.
Okay, well, Leonard Nimoy, he passed, I believe it was a Friday.
Yeah.
Or was it late Thursday? Anyway, it was too late to do the show what would have been last weekend. It was just too late to do it justice. If it had been one song, fine, but if the show had already gone to the webmaster and was already in the process of being put online, but people seem to be okay with it, the tribute running today.
Oh, sure. I mean, and hell, I remember back in 2001 after 9/11, it was about 3 weeks before you could do a 9/11 tribute on the regular radio, and it was almost weird to hear.
It was way different then, and also when John Lennon was assassinated, that was a tough one. So I was out on tour when that happened, so it was even more of a delay than usual.
Did you ever meet any of the Beatles?
No, never did.
I
was within breathing space of a couple of them a couple of times.
Okay.
No, never actually shook hands or conversed. My loss.
I remember in
life goes on.
In our original interview, you were talking about you were a roadie for some band for a while before you really lucked into radio.
For Canned Heat,
right.
And for Spirit in the late '60s. So those were great times. Very different from what I do now, but they were fun. It was not always wonderful, but it was fun.
And of the people that have been on your radio show, they haven't just been quote-unquote novelty people. I mean, you had Zappa on there, you're a big Zappa fan still.
Zappa, certainly there was nobody better at doing his particular form of satire, so he definitely falls into the realm of humor, but he did lots of other stuff too. He was conflicted about that himself. He made an album once called Does Humor Belong in Music?
Oh, I think he meant that sarcastically. I think he would have known, of course it does. You know.
Yes, right. But he was conflicted about it.
Really? Well, I think a lot of people got on him because his satire was sometimes so ridiculously silly or crude, and they think he could have done better. He was a smart man, obviously.
I mean, he was conflicted in the sense that should I be doing this or should I be doing all serious music?
Well, thank goodness he didn't do just all serious music.
I think one of the reasons that he did things like Don't Eat the Yellow Snow was because he knew they'd be popular, especially with a young male audience, and that would get people in the seats who would be exposed to his serious music and become loyal fans. I think that would... He never came out and said that to me, but I think that was his plan.
Did you ever have Beefheart on your show?
Yes, a couple of times.
Was he...
Those shows are available for streaming at drdemento.com if anybody would like to go back and listen to those.
So what do you remember about the Beefhearts? Because I remember I was actually in the audience when Beefheart was on David Letterman. It was a sheer luck kind of thing. And he was magic but nuts, you know. Was he normal-ish? I mean, I guess I could go listen to the show, but tell me
I don't know
thoughts.
If you'd say normal. I mean, my best memory of Beefheart was having lunch with him one day in New York City. We discovered that we were both staying at the same hotel. I was on tour to publicize my stuff, and he was doing a Beefheart tour. It might have even been the time when he was there for Letterman, though I did not get to see that. But anyway, we had lunch together, had a couple of beers, and talked mostly about roots music, about Howlin' Wolf and that sort of stuff.
And when you talked about that seriously, he was he held a very rational...
Serious, though not without humor. I mean, even talking about something relatively serious like that, I mean, I'd give anything to have a tape recording of that conversation, because he would phrase things in the most eccentric and unusual ways. But it was a completely civilized, quiet conversation. Didn't draw any attention. Unless somebody recognized one of us, nobody would have known what was going on in that restaurant.
Cool. Do you have a favorite guest of all time that you've had?
Well, Beefheart was great. Zappa was always challenging. In the later years, he tended to be a little guarded. Maybe the most fun I ever had doing a single interview was with John Cleese.
Oh, my. When did is that in the archives, too?
I think so. Yeah, I'd have to check.
Oh, but
it should be if it's not. Anyway, he was in L.A. to publicize A Fish Called Wanda. It was the day that it opened. The interview was not on the Dr. Demento show, but they called me in to appear on the morning show of the station in Los Angeles because they thought, well, who better to interview John Cleese than Dr. Demento? So they called me in. I got up early in the morning and went in, and we had a great talk. It started out being about A Fish Called Wanda, but soon got into Monty Python, and I think he was delighted to find that I could ask intelligent questions about Monty Python and not just the same old stuff that he always got asked. So
right,
that was
he
nice.
Probably threw in some Goon Show references that delighted him and things like that.
Yeah, sure.
Did you read his...
So that was fun. It was just energetic all the way. But there were lots of others. George Carlin interviewed him three times on the show and once on local TV in Los Angeles. Those interviews turned out to be more serious than you might think, because we would get into talking about what is funny and the theory of comedy and what makes people laugh and that quite seriously and intelligently, but it was not cracking jokes.
Yeah, no, that's part of what you do, and people don't even remember, or not remember, but realize that, especially when you were first starting, you were mixing not just quote-unquote funny songs, but obscure songs, great jazz numbers from, I mean, it morphed more into comedy, but you were a little more free-form, especially in those early California FM days.
That's true. And I get into that a little bit nowadays because, you know, I don't have to answer to radio station program directors anymore.
Exactly. And you still separate...
It's still mostly funny stuff, but it is more free form. I find myself playing more older things from before the rock era. I mean, like some of the rock program directors would get impatient if I played something recorded in 1915, for instance.
Yeah, and also you have your after show.
I can do that now to a certain extent. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say you still also have the after show, which is kind of the songs that you can get the kiddies out of the room, and you don't have to bleep them. And
yeah, I do that. I do that once a month or so. I'm a little bit overdue to do one of those, but I will.
Yeah, because so much of comedy now, be it spoken word, especially spoken word, but even musical, you can't avoid. Every other word is that.
I still play stand-up now and then, but I've always leaned towards the musical things. So sometimes a whole show will go by and it'll be all music. So it's just the way I am, and people seem to like it. On Facebook, we now have the Dr. Demento Show official page.
Oh, so,
which I participate in. It's the only Facebook page devoted to funny music that I regularly participate in. There are some others that use my name, but this official page, just look for the word official. I contribute to that and get lots of good feedback from some of the most loyal listeners to the show.
Can I ask how often, and maybe it's different now than it was when you were on terrestrial radio, but how often your taste... Like, you've got the top 10, but that's voted on by the listeners. Your taste dovetails, like when you have a number one song that gets played 5 weeks in a row or whatever, how often is it you agree, and how often are like, oh, God, I have to play this again because the audience just loves it?
Well, I mean, most of the time I go along with it. I don't object to it. I mean, I don't get up every morning and put dead puppies on the stereo the first thing when I get up. So
that's still one of my favorites, though. I have to say that.
My personal taste. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, that would be one song that would be on my top 10 or 20 of demented songs that you've ever played.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that belongs where it is, in the top 10 all-time hits on the Dr. Demento show. It's just that the people like a little more variety, and so being on the internet rather than on radio, I find myself not repeating myself quite as much.
Oh, yeah, cool. Because I have to say, if I never hear Tom T-Bone Stankus again, it won't be too soon. That's one of those where I'd just be like, why do people keep voting this one in?
We all have things like that. Well, that still gets on once or twice a year, but that's all.
And, of course, there's an understandable reason, a very great reason, why you play Weird Al Yankovic so much, because you made him.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and he's brilliant, of course, but the fact that...
Of course, with him, there's so many different songs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that helps a lot, and he still released a new album.
He's had a great year this past year, and just about to go out on a tour. He'll be touring Europe for the first time.
And you're still friends, you're still in contact, you're still...
We're still in contact.
Okay. I mean, it's nice to know that this is a relationship that goes back 30-something years now, 35 years at least.
Well, my first time I ever played anything of his was 1976, so that's 39 years this summer.
Wow. So, can I ask, one of the things that we talked about last time you were on the show is your amazing record collection that almost collapsed your house. Are you still sort of collecting records and CDs, or have you gotten to the point where, digital everything?
I still love my records, still keep them. I'm not as acquisitive as I used to be. Our house and the record room and everything is full up. There's hardly room, so I'm not in the market for 5,000 ordinary 78s, which I get offered now and then. I'm not in the market for that, but I still love the records that I have, but I'm quite content listening to digital files too, and of course on the show everything gets digitized before I put it on the show, no matter what medium it came in originally.
That of course completely makes sense. And of the stuff that you have in your archives, what percent would you say is digitized? And like in your house, in your massive basement thing.
I've digitized myself, it's probably 2%, something like that.
Right.
There are a good many more that have been digitized by others or released on CD somewhere on the planet.
Well, I may have asked you this last time, but you have kids, right? You have a son at least. You have more than one? Kids?
What's that?
You have kids, right? You have children?
No children.
Oh, okay.
Happily married now for over 30 years, but no kids.
Well, the reason I'm asking is not to be overly personal, but to say, okay, you're not a young man anymore. You're in your 70s. What provisions have you made for a museum, for what you have?
That, Dave, I'm not going to answer that one, but thank you very much. I'm glad people care.
Well, you know, because Joe Franklin died a few months ago, and the big question was like, okay, what do you do with all those years of nostalgia piled in his office?
I'm certainly aware of that. I'm just not making my deliberations public right now.
You don't have to tell us what they are, but you have that in mind. You're not, not ignorant of the fact that people...
I haven't ignored it altogether.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. So have tastes changed in comedy and novelty music in the past, let's say, either 20 years or 40 years that you've seen? Is there something different? What? How?
Well, when I started, there was no such thing as rap or hip-hop music. Now there is quite a bit of comedy that touches in some way or another on that. That's one reason. That's one way. Certain things kind of go in and out of style. Of course, there's lots of comedy that has to do with the events that have taken place. I mean, from Watergate right up to whatever the latest scandal happens to be.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So, and of course, there have been lots of changes in the language that's acceptable. Hmm. Now, when I first went online only, I thought, well, I don't have to bleep anything anymore. But I soon discovered that a substantial part of my audience would just as soon not hear the real dirt, the real filth.
Well, I wouldn't be in that audience. I'd be the filth audience.
People listen with their families, and I respect that. So that's why now and then I'll have one of those bonus segments at the end of the show where it's clear that that's what's going on. But other than that, it's nice not to have to bleep certain of the less offensive, shall we say, seven words. Like the S word, I can let go by now.
The S word is okay.
Probably not. Yeah.
Well, no, the F word. No, I didn't realize the S was kind of okay. That's kind of. I'm glad to hear.
Well, on my show, not necessarily on radio, except maybe after 10 o'clock. But on my show, it all depends on the context. A lot, even with the F word, a lot depends on the context. The F word can get into really deep sexual matters very graphically, or it can be just an expletive. There's a difference.
And if it's just an expletive, you might let it slide, as it were. If it's a sexual one,
like you can have one or two of those and have your movie still be PG-13,
right?
And not R. Yeah. So my show is PG-13. That's a good way to put it.
That's fair. When I was listening, it was PG because I realize I was 11 years old when I started listening to you in 1975 in New York. So I wasn't a teen. I mean, I was old enough, but I'm sure my parents would have balked if you were to play. If they even had such a thing back then, like Richard Pryor albums, or even though I was listening to those by the time I was 13, so it didn't really matter. But
like when Alfred Yankovic was about 13, he first discovered my show. And one night he was listening to my show, and I was playing Davy's Dinghy by Ruth Wallace. No dirty words in that. I mean, it's certainly got innuendo in it. But I was playing that, and his mother came into the room, and she said, "Alfred, you turn that off!"
Really? Oh, my goodness.
Yes. So for a while, he had to listen with the radio tucked under his bedclothes, under his blankets, as many other people did.
Oh, my God. I never had to do that. My parents understood my craving for Demento. And I have to admit, I pirated your show to some extent. I would take my little cassette tape recorder and record the show. This is like 1977. And record on these little cassette tapes, not for any other purpose than that I could listen to the show several times over the course of the week while waiting for the next one to come out. Just
exactly. I should have had stock in TDK and Maxell back then.
Right. That's right. We're talking just for another moment or two with the wonderful Dr. Demento, who, again, remember that his archived shows are available at drdemento.com. There's no period in there.
Yeah.
It's just D-R-D-E-M-E-N-T-O, Dr. Demento. And, that's what I wanted to ask you. Early, before you started playing Cheerio Cheery Lips to end your shows, you had another, I think it was also from the folks who did your opening segment, you had this kind of bon voyage music.
Yeah, the Roto-Rooter Good Time Christmas Band. They did a version, it started with Home Sweet Home, and then they played kind of an up-tempo version of Home Sweet Home.
Yes. So that was the Roto-Rooter Good Time Christmas Band. Thank you.
And I decided to, nothing against it, but I thought I'd replace it with Cheerio Cherry Lips. It was just a decision that I made that people seemed to like. But however, the last few notes of that version of Home Sweet Home still survive at the end of the show. And, of course, I still use the opening theme that Roto recorded.
Of course. I mean, how could you not?
Yes.
Now, speaking of which, and some of those folks who were with you in those years of the 1970s, still alive, still okay, like Jerry Mayala, Good Time Gill. Actually, those are much later. But who was it? You had people there. Help me out, please.
Well, for our movie, we recently had a reunion of much of the cast from those years, and Jungle Judy was there.
Yes.
Captain Chaos couldn't make it, but he's still alive and well. But
okay.
Jungle Judy was there, and Sulu, and, of course, many of the people from a little bit later.
Wonderful. And thank God they're healthy.
My very first sidekick was called Captain Heavy. His name was Ed Nelson, and he lives in Texas, but we're still Facebook friends. He's a musician, still quite active back there in East Texas.
Captain Heavy, was he just on the FM? Was that before he went syndicated? I don't remember him at all.
Yeah, that was when I was only on KPPC in Pasadena.
Okay. Oh, wow. Wow.
There's still a few shows. There was a few shows from that era online at drdemento.com. I'm not sure you can hear Captain Heavy's voice on any of them, but you can hear what the show sounded like back then.
So, wrapping up our conversation with the wonderful Dr. Demento, and I just can't tell you how happy and proud I am that you're able to make the call today. What do you have an all-time personal favorite Demented song?
Well, I'm just going to say Fish Heads, because that's my biggest hit, the one that the audience has liked the most.
Fish Heads.
As far as funny songs go, what I'm going to like the most is something new that the audience likes and I like. So that's going to change all the time.
Well, do you have a personal favorite, like, not comedians, but novelty song makers, besides, obviously, Weird Al? But, you know, any people that you particularly always look forward to?
Yeah. I'll put in a good word for the late Logan Whitehurst. I really thought he was a brilliant genius at what he did, which was making funny songs. They were funny in maybe a little subtler way, but and musically terrific stuff. And he got cancer, unfortunately. He's no longer with us. But I'll always put in a good word for Logan Whitehurst, and you can look him up online or find his songs on various of my shows through the years. He's been gone now since 2006. But I'll always put in a good word for Logan. But, you know, of course, Weird Al continues to produce year after year. Barnes & Barnes still do something now and then. Bill Frenzer of Ogden Edsel still active. So Jerry Samuels, they're coming to take me away. He's still alive and well.
Oh,
doesn't
cool.
necessarily
yeah.
do funny songs anymore, but he's still kicking.
Yeah. I mean, I remember I went to see one of your... I guess you could call it a concert. It was a review of people that you were bringing around, and you had Tiny Tim there on that. And Benny Bell, 90 years old, reading the lyrics off of sheets he was gripping in his hand. It was beautiful.
There are a lot of good people who are gone, too, but their funny stuff lives on.
It does, and it lives on courtesy of this man, Dr. Demento. Please visit his website.
Oh, thank you.
Please subscribe. Please go to drdemento.com. I can only wish you, I mean, to my 500 shows is nothing compared to this man doing a show pretty much every week for 46 years. and continue.
Well, may you live long and prosper, Dave, and may the radio show go on for as long as you're into it.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. D. Have a wonderful year. Thank you so much for calling.
All right. Stay demented.
Thank you, man. Bye-bye.